Let's talk.
John Brown. Live from the studios of TRE Talk Radio, up your voice in Spain.
Hi, this is Shirley King, the daughter of the blues, the daughter of the legendary B.B. King, and I listen to John Brown, Pump Radio Europe. Please check it out.
Now, you know how that was Shirley King, which I did a couple of years ago, the daughter of the B.B. King, the daughter of the King of the Blues. Well, I have to say that I'm joined once again by my very good friend. Lovely to have him with us, all the way live from Germany, Reverend John Lee Hooker Jr. Can you hear me, sir? Am I getting me loud and clear?
Yes, I can, my friend.
Just for a moment there, we were flying by, as we say in my country, the skin of our teeth there. So that was quite interesting.
Right?
May I say what a fine shirt you have on there, Reverend?
Oh, thank you very much.
Now, we were just playing, because last time we spoke, we had such a good conversation that we decided we should pick up from where we left it last time about the inspiration of your life, how you turned your life around, etc. I just played Heaven Rules. Now, a couple of things strike me from that, i.e., it's sort of spoken word, but my goodness, does it build? Does it build? The bass line takes over and it reaches a crescendo, as I think the listeners who just listened to it will confirm. What was the inspiration behind that? Why did you decide to put that one down?
Well, the inspiration comes from, and the motivation comes from, watching an orbit of narcissism. And that's from the White House all the way down to the streets of Chicago or Spain or Barcelona, all over the world. Narcissism, people have the tendency, those in that orbit, the tendency to believe that their fame and their game and their money and their access means that all power belongs to them. I will never die. And look at me. Look at my cars. Look at my women. Look at my men. Look at my houses. And I just was kind of fed up, because that does not define eternal life. God has all power.
Yeah, but the thing is, we live in a world now, Rev, where basically, I hope you don't mind me calling you Rev, but we live in
I am a Rev.
But we live in a world where we spend all our time in front of our screens taking pictures of this. It is always the superficial. It is always the bright, shiny thing that seems to be. And it's the short attention span. Bam, we look, we move on to the next thing. We do not contemplate, we do not regulate.
Right. It is temporary gratification. And what my song indicates is that eternal life and peace, not peace from an alcohol bottle, not peace from some drugs, not peace from sex or gambling, but eternal peace. Jesus said, not my peace I give to you, not as the world give it, I give to you. And peace in knowing that I don't have to use drugs no more. Peace knowing that I don't have to run the streets and stay up all night long no more. Peace knowing that when I die, I'll open my eyes and I'll see Jesus Christ, and he'll say, well done, Reverend John Lee Hooker Jr.
The thing is, you see, I mean, it'd be very easy for people to sort of write something like that. But, you know, with your background, with your, you know, with the famous father, etc., everything seemingly laid out on that golden plate before you, that golden highway, all you had to do is, you know, pick the low-hanging fruit, and there you were, set for life. And then you took a turn, you know, to put it mildly, and took a spiral. And for those who didn't catch my original interview with you, I mean, it was a horror show, wasn't it, John?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Definitely. And that's a great analogy, because it was a road of a life of destruction. And oftentimes the world sees that if you are the son of Frank Sinatra, oh, you got it made in the shade. Ella Fitzgerald and Nat King Cole and sons and daughters of the Rolling Stones, that you got it made in the shade. But all that glitters is not gold. All that tastes good, you understand, doesn't digest good. I was an apple that fell from the tree, but I rolled down the hill. And life shows up. Life shows up. You don't know what goes on externally. You don't know what goes on eternally. All you do is see the beautification of what's on the outside. The apple looks delicious until you take a bite off it and it's got a worm. I was the worm. Nope. And drugs took me down.
Yeah, because you told me a story about you played one of the prisons with your father back in the, it must have been the 70s, and then 20 years later you were in the same prison, and didn't one of the guards or the governor have a picture or something? Just refresh my memory on that one.
Me and my dad, we did the live at Soledad Prison with ABC in Beverly Hills, Ed Michelle. And we, after we did the shakedown and the medals, no guns, no bombs going in, okay, take off. Did the event, and there was a guard by the name of Ernie guarding us to make sure no inmates attacked the stage or came to the stage to steal something or try to manipulate in some way. Hey, give me some money. You got any dope? That's what his purpose was. 14 years later, I came back to that same Sallyport gate, saw that same gun tower. And only this time I was chained up on my wrists, my ankles around my waist. After a medical checkout and see that I didn't have any enemies in there, it's called screening, background check, if you will. What level I was assigned to a supervisor, and went to that supervisor and checked in to, as a matter of fact, it was landscape. And where's your ID? I gave him my prison ID and my little ducat to show why I was there. And he looked at it and looked at me, says, by Jove, by golly, you've been here before. I said, so no, sir, you must got the wrong guy, because I knew that I had just got out of Michigan State Prison. So he must have had the wrong guy, because I never did time in Soledad. Oh, yes, you have. Yes, I have. And he pulled out that picture and showed me he was a guard at that time, and now he was a supervisor. And it was surreal. Chills began to come all over my arms, and I said, yeah, that's me. So.
You know, the thing about you saying that, you know, that you talked about, you know, the children, I mean, you know, Frank Sinatra's son had particular problems with being Frank Sinatra's son. You know, some of them do, some of them don't. OK, but when it comes down to it, Rev, I mean, it's not just a question of, oh, it's not an excuse, is it? You can't say, oh, well, you know, I've had the burden of my famous parent, and therefore, if you had my problems, you would drink, you would do drugs, you would do whatever. When it comes down to it, that's not really an excuse, is it?
No, it's not. I witnessed violence at a young age. I witnessed estrangement. I witnessed separation, gunshots through our front door, through our front door, drugs in the basement, alcohol, staying up all night, parties. So it took a toll. The main thing that took a toll on me was the separation and at some point the official divorce of my mother and father. And that really tore me up. My dad was a man who wanted to make sure that his family was taken care of. So he had no other alternative but to hit the road and play his music. And I didn't have that dad guy there. And my mom, she was party. My dad was the blues man. And where was I to go? I hit the streets myself at the age of 15 years old. So no direction, and I don't blame it on my mom and dad, but that what was happening.
But also, you know how much I'm a fan of your father's work, and indeed your work, but what I'm saying is, you know, the life of, if you look at the life of people like Sonny Boy Williamson, or you look at the life of somebody like Muddy Waters, you look at the life of somebody like your father, it was the original blues thing. It wasn't doing that sort of live in Las Vegas residency. It was doing, you know, James Brown was the hardest man in showbiz, but so was your father, so was Muddy, so was Sonny Boy Williamson. They were out every night playing on the road.
Yeah, they everybody did what they were supposed to do. That's what God, the gift God gave them to play. I took after my father in terms of his talent. I couldn't play the guitar like him, but I took off. But I just ran into some snags. Here's a remedy to get rid of your pain. Try some dope. And I tried the dope. But the dope, you're not told that the dope is going to follow you all most of your life into the old age. So, yeah.
So with Heaven Rules, how does that come to you? Do you just sort of sit down? And how do you write that? I mean, was it lyrics first? Because you almost go on a rap there, Rev. I mean, what's happening there? Yeah,
my producer, Larry Baptiste, is an extraordinary arranger in music. And he even teaches you how to hit some notes and how to sing your own song. But Heaven Rules was, like I said, the idea came and how dare. I don't know if you know the story when David, King David, became who David was. David saw the Philistines and Big Goliath mimicking and mockery the Israeli army, and he got upset. Give me that armor, give me a sword, and all this is too high. I'll take my five rocks and I'll get this Goliath. Well, that's how I was. How dare they think that their riches can overrule the divinity of the creator of the world? So my fight or my weapon was an ink pen. So in the book of Daniel of the fourth chapter, that's where I got my subject at. And King Nebuchadnezzar was told that if he didn't stop popping on his collar and acting like he's the creator of everything, that they would take his kingdom away from him. And what happened is that's exactly what it did. It took his kingdom from him. And that's what I'm writing about. There go my thoughts. I took some modern day stuff. I took Johnny Cochran and O.J. Simpson. I input that. You remember 50 Cent, the rappers? He did a movie called Get Rich or Die Trying. And I took some of that. And I just took a lot of stuff. I took Cain and Abel, and I just wrapped this story all into a ball and made it go in chronological order all the way to the end.
So when you're looking at the moment, you're looking because you're based in Germany at the moment, aren't you? You're over in Germany.
And you look
across the Atlantic, across the pond, as we Brits call it. I mean, it must give you a peculiar, and I mean that in a good way, viewpoint of what's happening in the States and what's happening worldwide.
Yeah. Well, you know, the scripture says there's really nothing new under the sun. What's going on in Africa is sort of going on in America, and what's going on in Spain. You have some stuff going on in Spain. You have the floods and you got the fires. So there's violence everywhere. There's LGBTQ protesters. There's Palestine, pro-Palestinians. There's gang war. There's racism. So everything is going on. And yeah, I look across the pond on TV and say, wow, that's what's going on over there. But it's not going on sometime at the same time. What's going on over here in Germany is not as dramatic as to what's going on in America. Because you look at America and say, my God, thank you, Lord, for bringing me to Germany. I don't get shot at. I'm not being shot at. Nobody's burning rubber down, doing donuts in the middle of the street. So I'm happy where I am. And thank God. You know, I've been to Spain before. Yeah. I've been to Spain. Yeah, I toured Spain for 3 weeks. Barcelona, Madrid. I was everywhere. I love Spain.
Yeah.
Waiting to be invited back over, Spain.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that we can get that organized. I've never yet had an artist come to Spain and go, you know, we had a terrible time in your country. It never happens. Everybody always has a great time in Spain.
Yeah, it sure does.
So here's the thing, because obviously you've played big venues, you play small venues with your music. Do you get the same excitement? Because you preach live, obviously, in front of congregations and in front of audiences and whatever, and you speak. Is it the same sort of, I wouldn't say buzz, but is it the same excitement? Is it the same connection with your audience that you used to get when you're preaching like you do, used to get when you played live on stage?
Yeah, well, there's a... Okay, you're speaking of preaching and you're speaking of singing.
Yeah.
In terms of genres, blues, gospel, Europe in general received those type of genres secondhand. What I mean by that is it didn't grow up. The blues or the gospel didn't grow up in Europe. It grew up, it was birthed, created, and there it was. And then this country, that country, that country. So that's what I mean when I say secondhand. And I said that to say that when Europe in its entirety received that music, they were so happy. Oh my goodness. So the crowds or the excitement, the attraction in Europe is greater. Even when Beyonce was over there, the excitement, oh my goodness. Saudi Arabia, they are so excited about the sports because, you know, it was like hoodoo or voodoo back in the days. And now everybody is so excited. In terms of preaching, the Europe has a different type of views on preaching. Preaching is excitement in America. It's excitement. And I'm sure there's some pockets in Spain and Europe where people get excited, but it's such an excitement because people will hear something and just get excited. Here in Germany, people are just quiet. I shouted hallelujah one day in the German church and everybody's sleeping.
Because, of course, I'm thinking, of course, Blue, you know, a movie which your father appeared in, Blues Brothers, and, you know, obviously Belushi and James Brown as the Reverend, and everybody going, can you see the light? So what are you hoping then with Heaven Rules, Rev? What are you hoping that people will take from it? And what message would you put across then, do you hope?
Most every song that I write, especially my gospel, gospel is information. It means good news. And I have went from the blues to the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there's a message. I don't make music just for people to dance, and I make music for them to enjoy hearing, listening, but I wanted to always make sure that there was a message in it and to adhere to the commandments that Jesus said in Matthew 28, to go ye to all nations and teach whatsoever I commanded you and make disciples of all men. So my message from Heaven Rules is that simple as that. God is in charge, and we just need to be thinking about what would be the scene, what would the scene look like when we die and wake up?
This song, the song you heard at the beginning, was Heaven Rules. If people want to find out more information about you and find out what you're up to, and hopefully we can book you in for a tour of Spain very soon indeed, you've got a website, haven't you?
Yes, sir. JohnLeeHookerJr.com. And you can go to my ministry page. You can go to my manager page and drop down and send me a message. If you want to book me, let me know and I'll preach and I'll tell my story and I'll sing you some gospel and it'll be soulful just like Heaven Rules.
And I just had a little idea go off in my little nugget here about doing something over here. So stay tuned, listeners. I just had an idea. So for those of you out there doubting, a bit of Wednesday wisdom there for the great Reverend John Lee Hooker. As always, my friend, it has been wonderful to speak to you today.
Amen. And Giles, send me your address Cuz, hold on.
Oh, look out. Look out. He's getting something and I can't see, but I must say that's a particularly fine leather chair you've been sitting on there, Rev. This works very well. Ah! Right.
You don't have this.
I don't have that. No, that's correct. Absolutely. That's why I just...
Give me your address.
Right.
And I will send you my life story. It was a bestseller when it first came out 2 or 3 weeks on Amazon, but it sold in 4 countries and it's now being interpreted in German language as well. And got a picture of me and the Rolling Stones in there. And there's me and...
Good grief. Good grief. That's a brilliant photograph.
Keith Richards and my dad. And and there's me and the Rolling Stones.
And doesn't everybody look fresh faced in that one? Listeners, you can order the book, by the way, listeners, via our own virtual bookstore, which is on our Talk Radio Europe website. There's a photograph of it there, so they can order it straight away.
Get all that information, but send me your address so I can send you this copy that I just pulled out of my stock.
You see, there's the thing. And when the Reverend John Lee Hooker says, Junior, send you your address, you better send him your address. Go and listen to the Heaven Rules. Reverend John Lee Hooker, Junior, as always, been an absolute pleasure to speak to you today.
Always send that address, Giles, and that little nugget that you got. I hope to see you one day.
You'll see me very, very soon indeed.
Boom, 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 boom. I'm gonna shoot you right down. Right off of your feet. Take you home with me. Put you in my house. Boom, 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 boom. Ow, 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 ow. I love to see you strut up and down the floor when you're talking to me. That baby talk. I like it like that. Oh, yeah. Talk that talk. Walk that walk. Whisper in my ear, tell me that you love me. I love that talk. When you talk like that, you knock me out right off of my feet. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, talk.
And walk. Yeah, indeed. The old man himself, John Lee Hooker, according to the Reverend John Lee Hooker Jr., of course. Go and check out his website and Heaven Rules, which is his new. So always great to speak to the Rev. And I think we should get him. I think we should get him down to. I might have a word with Dave because I think him listening to him preach would be worth the price of entrance alone.